It's Nicole Silver, and now for the second half of the AMA. From She Flew Higher, you have such a way with words, can you please tell us some of your favorites? How about murmur, mellifluous, chiaroscuro, and absolutely? And of course, the classics, harder, faster, deeper, don't stop, please. Thank you for volunteering to organize the next GWA meetup and retreat. Where are we going and what will we do there? And here's my thought. Sequoia National Park. It's in the southern Sierra Nevadas. By day, slacklining, backflips on trampolines, that kind of thing. Tango lessons led by Maple Lance and his wife. Trail riding. I'll lead that. I'm a good horsewoman. Guitar and ukulele lessons. Hank and Zen can do the honors along with Frantic Tumble. Or card games, games of chance run by Emeril. Video games, following the Twitch streams of Lady Vicarian and Cardinal Sin. And after our various naps, a game of Blind Man's Bluff. Yeah, straight out of a Regency novel. Someone such as myself would be blindfolded and spun around in a circle. And then we would go towards people, navigating by their voices. And when you caught them, you'd identify who you'd caught by how they sounded. Now the trick would be to convincingly be wrong until you found the one that you wanted, because you'd win a night. Cuddle, what would you tell your teenage self? Audio porn has the answer you seek. Don't give up. Which talent, capability, or part of your personality would you fight the hardest to keep? My optimism and kindness. What do you care about it seems no one else cares about? You know, since the advent of Google, no matter what question I may have, someone somewhere knows an answer. And I'm willing to bet that no matter what matters to me and that I care about, someone somewhere also cares. If you won $1 billion, what would you keep exactly the same? Oh, Cuddle, sadly, no matter how much I might wish it, nothing would stay the same. I'd need security. I'd have to lawyer up. I'd need to hire a phalanx of people to manage this income and to distribute it. You know what? I'll ask J.K. Rowling. She'll know. Pink cantaloupe. Huh. I'm insanely jealous of good writers. Who makes you jealous? Oh, Pink. As an avid and constant reader, I am too grateful they exist and I get to read them honestly. I'm all admiration. Jealousy is not my response to really good writers. Partly, it's the cliche that it's not getting what you want, but wanting what you've got that makes for happiness. I have found that to be true. And think about it. There are many, many great and brilliant writers with awful lives or who are awful people. And I don't want that. I just want to skim the cream. But it's a package deal. So I'll keep the life I've got. Next, Moondance. Hey, Mr. Moondance. A few quick ones. Which character would you be in Game of Thrones and why? The thing is, I've only seen the first season. But I read the books. I'd already read the series. So, you know, forgive me. There was a young girl, though, that first season. I think it was the youngest daughter of Ned, the Hand of the King. She seemed pretty feisty. I'll sign up to be her. If you were a drink, what would you be? And what do you think that says about you? I picked the first one that floated to the top of my mind. Topo Chico. It's a mineral water. It's fizzy in an extra sharp way. It feels like little needles are dancing on your tongue. I am delicious on my own, and I can be combined with many other flavors and add a certain zest and sparkle. Unlike, you know, Jaeger, you wouldn't wake up the next day sorry that you'd had me. A little morbid, perhaps, but what would you want written on your tombstone? When I visited the Protestant cemetery in Rome, I wrote down some of my favorite epitaphs. They were more expressions of love and esteem than cries of grief, though there was certainly some of that. So here's one. Let the earth be light for her. Wise, magnanimous, and tender-hearted, though, is my favorite. And you add a challenge for a writer. Could you summarize your best sex ever in less than one sentence? Extra credit if you do it as a haiku. Oh, indeed I can, Mr. Moondance. A haiku being a Japanese poem of 17 syllables and 3 lines of 5, 7, and 5. Earbuds, internet, no expectations at all. His voice. And I came. Reader, what can you bake without looking at a recipe? I can handily turn out granola and biscuits, my mother's recipe for biscuits. What's your favorite smell? Oh, the nape of my lover's neck. I'm a very sensually oriented woman. That makes me wild and calm at the same time. If you could learn one skill instantly, what would it be? Well, some kind of genius level of conflict resolution, or how to chip arrowheads from flint and make fire with sticks, because the way we're heading, if your world peace through pillows plan falls through, those are skills I will need. Hey, Metal. Wonderful questions, thank you. Regarding my world travels, favorite city that is not London, and why? You know, I thought about it, and Edinburgh, it's a jewel of a city. You can stand on a street and have a view of the Georgian era, the medieval era. Young men in crazy hair with kilts playing jazzy bagpipe. What's not to love? The food is excellent and inventive. It's hilly enough to keep you in shape in perpetuity. You'll never need to go to a gym. I encountered kindness everywhere. People were so nice to me. Weather is capricious, but I like that. One moment it's sunny, and then it's sprinkling rain, and then the clouds blow away and a wind whips around you and blows you dry, and then it's sunny again, all in 45 minutes, half an hour. They speak English. Let's be real, it's all I speak. That's a big plus. And they have delightful museums, not only the National Museum with wonderful portraits, including the one by Sargent of Lady Agnew, which is one of my favorite portraits in the world. They have history museums, which are marvelous. There's one that has a pewter plate and a pair of spurs on the plate. And the card explains that there was a famous highwayman, a robber. And when he would want to hang around and drink his mead and swive his wife, and he would ask for dinner, she would bring him his spurs on a plate. Favorite food you've enjoyed during your time abroad? I am going for the gusto. This is the best meal of my life. And I had it in Paris at Le Papier, P-A-P-I-L-L-E-S. It's very small. It's near the Luxembourg Gardens. You sit down and they bring you what there is. You don't order. It began with a tureen of what they build as carrot soup. And the soup plate had a stack of ingredients, little slivers of carrots, something porky, a dab of creme fraiche, a little bouquet of thyme on the top. There were spices dusted along the sides and dots of something on the bottom and croutons. And then the broth came separately and you ladled that over it and you stirred it up. And I swear to you, it tasted like nirvana. This was followed by a copper pan of roasted vegetables and pork loin and a dish of polenta. I ate my way through that until you could have cracked a flea on my belly. I was so full. I left one of the pieces of pork because I could not fit it in. They actually brought a cheese platter that I said, take it back and give it to someone more deserving. I can't. I don't have room. And they gave me a pitying, yet we've heard this before, look. Dessert came in a glass that widened at the top, but at the bottom was a layer of banana and maybe some chocolate and some kind of crème anglaise pudding, and then a layer of chocolate cream and a layer of cream and then a layer of caramel. Oh, Hail Mary. Yes, I ate the whole thing. And then there was espresso in a tiny cup. It was almost Turkish. It wasn't really espresso. It was almost like drinking the grinds, honestly. There was a little chocolate-covered coffee bean that came with it. And I knocked this back knowing full well it was all that stood between me and a coma. And this took around 2 hours. I had to put my fork down for breaks. Usually when I dine alone, I read, but I did not read because my attention was fully commanded by the food. So, believe me, my words have not done it justice. It's like saying Steve Jobs had an okay idea for a phone or, you know, I'll put the address and the name in the comments. A silly, quirky, or preferably, as it's me asking, embarrassing in a funny way, situation and anecdote encountered in your mini world travels. I can't believe I was such a dope, and thank God it worked out. I was at the Vatican Museum. I've been going every day. For reasons I'm not going to be specific about, had a pass that let me go in early and roam around pretty freely. And I went every day and I did drawings. But one day, I saw groups going out beyond the courtyards into the garden between St. Peter's and the museums, where, you know, Pope Benedict, the retired pope, lives under guard. And I thought, ooh, I'd like to go for a walk in the garden. And without thinking this through, I attached myself to the back of this group. I don't know, there were 20 people or something. People moved chains and opened gates, and I followed them. And about halfway through, I thought, well, that's enough. I'll go back now. I couldn't go back. The ways had been locked and barred. The gates were closed, and I was on the other side of iron railings in view of the tourist on the inner gardens, but with no way to get in. And I didn't really even then realize how much trouble I could be in. It took about 10 minutes to get the attention of someone, and they went over and got the attention of the guard, who gestured, you know, which way I should go, and was scowling is really putting it mildly. And he launched into, where are your papers? Where are your papers? And I had them, you know, and I handed them over with many looks of abject apology and saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And he asked me to explain myself, and I told him what I had done. And he made some calls, and he, with many angry looks and bitter words in Italian, told me to go on about my business. So I went straight down to there's an underground museum there of vehicles, the Pope's drive, and sat on a bench and shook like a leaf because I could have been anyone. You know, I could have been a terrorist. I forgot about the Pope lived back there under guard, and oh my God, I just didn't think it through. I never want to end up in an Italian jail or deported. But both those things were probably a very near miss. So don't ever do that, people. Don't think, oh, look, they're going there. I'll follow them. That looks interesting, when you don't speak the language fluently and where you're going is restricted. Don't be an idiot. So international incident averted. Hey, Pooh. Oh, you have a favorite season, and you have many good reasons for that. And you ask me if I have a particular season I favor more than others, and if so, why? And I will say spring. My garden emerges, and every day there is a new miracle. And I've been traveling the last 5 years in the spring, so I've missed some of my favorite moments. One of my favorite quotes is from the brothers Karamazov, and I swear this will be relevant. When Ivan Karamazov, who was a stone-cold intellectual and found the world distasteful and worthy of scorn for its cruelty, when he saw the leaves open in the spring, he fell back in love with a world that he wanted to renounce. And the quote in the book is Ivan saying, "I have a longing for life, and I go on living in spite of logic." And further along he says, "And I shall not weep from despair, but simply because I shall be happy in my tears. I shall steep my soul in emotion. I love the sticky leaves in spring and the blue sky. That's all it is. It's not a matter of intellect or logic. It's loving with one's inside." Now that rings so true for me. So spring. So script grad, have you written any scripts, published or unpublished, that you facepalm and ask yourself what you were thinking? No. Is that awful? I like what I write. By the time I push it out on the freeway, I mean the Reddit, it's as good as I can make it. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they get it on. Boom, my job is done. All my interest is in how, who they are and how they meet. And then where they are. Once I've answered those questions, I can picture them and it's almost like a movie starts rolling in my mind, and I write down what I see. And it skips around if I change their location or I change the point at which they meet. And I write that down too. I follow the advice of someone who said, if you want to have a good idea, the best way is to have a lot of ideas and throw the bad ones away. And that's my MO. That's what I do. I'm like a magpie. I make this heap of shiny fragments of ideas, all with jagged edges, and then I see how they fit together. Sometimes the fragment that was the seed, that was the start, doesn't make it in because it doesn't serve the overall story. I'm trying to understand how I do what I do because it's still pretty baffling to me. And so I'm talking about it here. Thanks, Boo. Cooking, not your favorite dish to make, but what is your favorite style of dish? Cajun, Mexican, Thai. Soups and stews, Pooh. Vaguely French, like coq au vin or bouillabaisse or boeuf bourguignon, that kind of thing. And then the bread to go in it, like baking bread. Follow up, have you ever made a meal that had varying styles of food? If so, did it turn out well? If not, would you ever consider trying it? No, and I have an answer for that, but it's too identifying. I'm sorry, I can't explain that. Artistically, can you name your favorite piece that you ever made, understanding this could be too personal? I'll answer how I see fit. Oh yes, I have one. It's oil on canvas. It's about 40 by 40 inches. It's been shown, and therefore it's all over media, and I can't describe it beyond saying, well, it took about 8 months to paint. I did principal photography. I work from photographs, and I went actually on a trip to do specific photography with particular props near a place by a river. So there's an element of landscape, and there's an element of still life. And there's some personal objects. It hangs in my home and I will never sell it. Thank you for asking. What's your beef with Impressionism? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This is kind of like kink shaming to be an art style shamer. So I'll just say it depends on the Impressionist, but I generally do not care for sloppy or pretentious, which lets out a whole lot of them. I mean, come on. Renoir did some good things, I'll admit it, but most of his women looked like the same pug dog painted over and over. It just, no, thank you. Also, do you find any specific piece of art, be it sculpture, fresco, architecture, paintings, etc., from any particular era, given too much praise for its importance? Oh yes, so many. But that's the relevant thing for me to say. Not every piece of art is made just for me. I have a decided preference for skill and beauty. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, you see how it circles back around to personal taste and preference? So yeah, there's some things in museums that just break my heart with their ineptitude, but oh well, it wasn't made for me. Someone else will like it. What's my preference on musical styles and genres? Honestly, it depends on my mood. I am truly eclectic. My guilty pleasure is country. There's a lot of storytelling going on in those country songs. Oh, same question for film. Oh, again, it's eclectic, though it's narrowed down a lot. I am done with movies about the ineffable misery of life. That's all I'm going to say. Extrapolating on Melt's misreading of gumbo, what are your three secrets to killer Gumby? Thank you so much. I'm going to punt this question to Lord Downey, who is the head of the Ankh-Morpork Pork Assassins Guild, and I understand he favors poison. If you only answer one question 100% honest, how much do my ambitious plans but failure to deliver in a timely manner bother you? Not at all. None. Zero. Everything here is optional. Nothing is mandatory. Thank God, because that goes for me too. I counted it this morning for someone who asked me if I took requests for writing scripts, and I don't, because I am somewhat enthralled to my muse. I have glimpses, and I jot them down, and I have sparks, and as long as it's ignited, I'll follow it. And when it runs out, I'll stop and I'll turn to something else. So I counted up today how many scripts I have in development, you might say, from at least a couple of paragraphs to several pages. And it's 26 of them. Now I know some people sit down and begin at the beginning and go to the middle and then finish at the end, but I'm not one of them. It's that magpie fragment thing. I collect shiny pieces, and then I put the jagged edges next to each other, and where they click, they fit. Of those 26, I'll bet there are groups of three that belong to one, but I just don't know what they are yet. That's what happened with the script, The Sound of You. It was actually three fragments that clicked together and formed one full, lively thing. Thank you all for your kindness and asking me these questions, which were pretty fascinating to me. This place has given me so much. So mostly I just want to express my gratitude for being a welcoming and cheerfully smutty corner of the internet that has room for me. Thank you.